Good morning and welcome to the service, and we appreciate your presence. I asked Eric if we could sing the song, The World's Bible, right before the lesson, because much of what we have to study this morning comes from that, especially the second verse where we sang that we are the only Bible the careless world will read. The song is not saying that we are a substitute for the Bible. The song is saying that people out in the world often see us before they see the Bible. Before they open up a Bible, before they read a Bible, they are going to hear us and see us as Christians. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning, our positive influence and impact on the world around us. And if you stop and think about it, there's a lot of truth in that. There are people out in the world that may have Bibles laying around, maybe even in their home or somewhere else, but they never open that. But they always see you, and they might see you on a regular basis, on a daily basis, for example, at school or at work, or we go out and to run errands and we come in contact with the public. I would say that all of us contact the world on a regular basis, if not daily, at least weekly. We don't shut ourselves up in our home. We go out and we're making contact with people in the world, and often we are the very first thing they see with reference to Christ and living the Christian life. And so I want us to consider this morning the statement that we had in our scripture reading there in Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Them that are without. That is people out in the world. And what is our relationship to them? What is our influence and our impact on them? And I want it to be a positive lesson in thinking about how greatly we really do influence the world. How our role as a Christian really is extremely important. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. And that's a very challenging thing. It's a very important thing. And it's often very true. What we want is for them to be impacted by our influence so that they'll actually pick up a real Bible, and then they come to the gospel and they obey the Lord and they become a Christian. Let's talk about impacting the world around us this morning. Jesus said that he wanted his disciples to impact those out in the world. And often they don't know much about the Bible, as we've just said. Often they will not pick that up. They will not read that. They know what a Bible is. I would say that many Americans know what a Bible is, but they don't read that. But they know us, and they see us, and they hear us, and they have contact with us, whether it's at work or school or running errands or some other relationships that we have. How can we best conduct ourselves in a way that will influence them for good and bring them to Christ? Jesus said, for example, that that's going to happen through our light. He uses the figure of light, which means our influence. We are the light of the world. Paul said in Philippians 2:15 that we are lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Through our light, through our influence, the words we say, our deeds, we influence others for good. Turn with me to John chapter 13. Jesus said, not only through our light, but we also accomplish this through our love. When we truly and sincerely sacrifice and serve for one another, the world sees that. John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Look at that phrase, even as I have loved you. That's the qualifying there. Love. Well, how, Jesus? As I have loved you. Sacrificial, serving love. That you also may love one another. Look at this. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So the way we treat each other, the way we treat each other is a way that we impact the world. And they will know that we are truly the disciples of Christ. So through our light. Secondly, through our love. And then, turn with me to John 17. Through our loyalty to His Word. We have to follow His Word the words of his apostles who went into all the world after he ascended into heaven. Verse 21, that they, the disciples, those who believe on their word, that they may also be in us, that they may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. When, if you back up to verse 20, when we believe the word of Jesus and follow that, and we're unified and we're loyal to that, the world may know that you sent me. That's one of the greatest needs today in the world, is that they would know that Jesus is the Savior, that He came from God. How is that accomplished? When they see that we are loyal to His word. Clearly, Jesus says that we need to be out impacting the world. If you back up to verse 15, I pray not that you should take them from the world. Why? Because we're supposed to be out there impacting. We don't live in a monastery. We don't live behind closed walls where we don't go out and talk with anybody. We don't live up on top of a mountain and we don't contact anybody. We're to be out there impacting others. And so I want us to look at some things, especially in the New Testament, with regard to our relationship toward them that are without. And let's begin in the passage where that is actually mentioned. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. The first thing that I would suggest to you this morning is that we need to walk wisely. Now think about our lives each day that we get up, whether it's going to school, whether it's going to work, whether it's running errands. We are going to have some contact with people in the world. What can we do in a positive way to impact them? Number one, we can walk with the wisdom that God gives us in His Word and not by the wisdom that is out there in the world. In Colossians chapter 4, the first thing that Paul says there is, walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. What is that? Well, that's walking by God's will, by God's word. Look at the parallel passage in Ephesians chapter 5. When you are studying Colossians or Ephesians, check the other book. Those two books were written at the same time, and they were written to two churches that were close together. And so the Apostle Paul actually has repetitive material in both books. And you'll be reading one and the other can shed light on that. So when you're studying Colossians and Ephesians, read the parallel accounts in each one. When you turn over and find what Paul says in Ephesians 5, you learn what that means. Look at verse 15. Look for carefully how you walk. Colossians 4 says, walk in wisdom. Look at what Paul says here. Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. It's the same thing as Colossians 4. Walk in wisdom. Don't walk as unwise, walk as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's how you walk in wisdom. You're walking by what the Lord wills for you, what His word is for you. Now, back to Colossians chapter 4. In particular, what kind of wisdom are we going to exhibit when we get up each day? Paul specifies one area of our life that has to do with our speech. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And then he explains, let your speech be always with grace. That's literally with thankfulness or with gratitude. Seasoned with salt. It's going to flavor, as it were. It's going to impact who's hearing you. It's not just worldly speech. That you may know how you ought to answer each one. Notice that there's an emphasis on our words. One way that we can have a big impact on them that are without is when we talk with them, use words that are going to share the gospel with them. Use words that are going to get their attention and bring them to God or Christ. We're going to speak in such a way that it's not going to be worldly in our speech. Of course, certainly that would have to do with profanity and four-letter words and those types of things. But here he's talking about positive speech, speech that brings people to God and Christ. It's seasoned with salt. We're careful what we say. And it's a part of walking wisely. Turn with me to James chapter 3. Somebody says, well, what does it mean to walk wisely? Well, James helps us to understand that by contrasting that with the wisdom of this world. When we get up each day, we go out and we walk wisely toward them that are without. We get up and we use wisdom. We don't just think and say and do what the world says. We think and say and do what God wants us to. There's another kind of wisdom. Look at James 3:15. There is a wisdom. This wisdom is not a wisdom that cometh down from above. It's not from God. It's not in God's word, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. There's a wisdom of what the devil wants, how the world lives. We're not going to talk like that. We're not going to act like that. And what comes from that, look at verse 16. From that kind of wisdom comes jealousy and faction. For where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion and every vile deed. The reason we have so much vileness in our nation today is because they're living by the wisdom of the world. But the wisdom that is from above, walk wisely toward them that are without. What is that? It's the will of God. It's from above. It comes down from heaven. How? In some mysterious, mystical way? No, through His Word, the Bible. The wisdom that is from above is first pure. We're going to be pure around the people in the world. Peaceable. We're not stirring up a fight. Gentle. Easy to be entreated. That means someone can approach us and talk with us. Full of mercy. And good fruits without variance. Without variance. We're not going to be someone that is doubtful and constantly changing. And, well, I don't really, you know, should I speak the truth or should I lie? No, you know how you're going to live. And it's without variance. I like that. That's an interesting thing. We're going to get up each day. We know what the Word of God says. We're going to live that way. And there's not going to be any wishy-washy, maybe, maybe not. That's just the way it is. The world needs to see that in us, and they will be attracted to that. And then he says, without hypocrisy. We're not going to preach one thing and practice another. So wisdom that is from above. When we go to work and school and other places, let them see that. Number two, practice honesty. Practice honesty. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul mentions our Christian responsibilities toward them that are without. Practice honesty. Do you know that that is something that is just falling by the wayside in today's society? You can act any way you want and be deceitful and just flat out lie. You might even work with people. Brethren, work with people, just flat out liars. Practice honesty. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11, speaking to Christians. And that you study, the old English version says, we think of getting some books out and notebooks and studying. It's the old English word meaning to be ambitious or give diligence to, really work at it. Be diligent, some versions say. Be diligent to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands. Don't be lazy. Don't be a freeloader. Well, somebody else will bail me out. No, work with your own hands even as we charged you. Look at it. That you may walk becomingly, some versions say honestly, toward them that are without. And may have need of nothing. We need to walk becomingly or honestly with integrity. We need to be people of integrity. People of character. And I understand that Larry spoke on that last Sunday evening. People of character. People of virtue. People of integrity. Always doing what is right. And be open and honest in our dealings with others. Walk in honesty or walk becomingly. That is, as God would have you to do. Without deceit. There's so much of that going on today. They need to see us for an honest character of Christianity. They see so much of the other. And one of the greatest impacts that we can have is when we're around others, just simply act that way. you're surrounded by lying, you're surrounded by deceit, you're surrounded by con artists, you're surrounded by all kinds of things that go on where people are trying to cheat and steal and cheat the system and all that kind of thing. Don't be like that. And we can make a really positive impact on those around us. They'll see that. They'll see that you're different. They'll take notice of that. They'll be mindful of that. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. One other thing that we can do when we are around others out in the world is we can be distinct. Be distinct. We're not just going to be another worldly person. We're going to be a light in the midst of darkness. We're going to be so different in our speech and in our dress and in our conduct that people will look at us and they'll see the difference. They'll know the difference. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, I want to begin there. The Apostle Paul reminds Christians that they are to no longer walk as they once walked out in the world. We're not going to just keep doing what we were doing before we became a Christian. We're going to be different. Verse 17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord. This is serious. This is coming from God. That you no longer walk as the Gentiles also walk. There's two ways that the New Testament describes people out in the world. Well, maybe three. First of all, they're called just the world. But one of them is this phrase, them that are without. And another phrase is the Gentiles. It's just the way people out in the world walk and live. Don't walk as the Gentiles walk. Some of these brethren were Gentiles. He's not saying give up your nationality. It's an expression meaning don't walk like people out in the world. No longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. That they're empty, shallow, they don't have God's word. Being darkened in their understanding. You see, you're a light. They're darkened in their understanding, meaning that they're darkened living in sin, the things they do lead to sin, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that in them is. They're not reading God's word. They're ignorant. They're not learning values. They're just doing what the world says. And you come along and you're different. Because of the hardening of their heart. They get so calloused that many of them don't want to change. Who being past feeling, they don't feel anymore. They don't care anymore. We hear these news stories about, you know, somebody just walking up to somebody and just shooting them, you know, school shootings or whatever. How can a person even get like that? It's a process where their conscience early on is pricked and hurt, but they harden themselves so long and they get so calloused emotionally toward things that you can just go do some and you don't even have any feeling anymore about that. Past feeling. Gave themselves up to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you did not so learn Christ. Don't walk like that. Be distinct. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17, come out from among them. Come out. Don't be the same. Show them how to live a godly life without being spotted by the world. We're not going to talk like them. We're not going to dress like that. We're not going to act like that. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 5. Be distinct. Do you know that when Joseph was distinct, even Pharaoh took notice of it? Do you know that when Daniel and his three friends were distinct, that even the king took notice of it? And says so after Daniel comes up out of the lion's den. I know that your God, you know, is the one true God. They notice. Be distinct. And don't be like I was one time about, you know, grade school, maybe junior high, maybe a little bit younger, where, well, my dad doesn't want me saying those outright bad words, so I'll just say the stuff that's close to it. I shouldn't have done that, but that's what we do as Christians. I'll dress close to the way the world is. I'll push the envelope on that. You know, I'll just get so close that, you know, I won't be completely different. Be completely different. Not let's just see how close we can get. So, well, I won't take God's name in vain, followed by the word damn. I won't do that, but then I'll say gosh, you know, followed by darn or something like that. We call them euphemisms. All we're doing is we don't want to be exactly like the world, but we want to be pretty close so that we're not considered, you know, a complete, you know, kook or fanatic or something like that. And it, here might be an article of clothing that's just outright immodest. I won't wear that. I'll put a few more inches of material on it, but it's still showing things that it shouldn't show. You see what I'm saying? We get close. Be distinct. That's how we make an impact on the world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 5. That light will then really shine in the midst of darkness. It will be something that people will be attracted to. And we've been talking in our Bible study about dating and who we're going to marry and choosing a mate. That's how a person does that. When you are completely distinct, people in the world are attracted to that, and you begin to study the Bible and you begin to talk about things like that. They obey the gospel. They become a Christian. But if we're just pretty close to the world, then we're not that distinct. Verse 5, 1 Thessalonians 4, 5, not in the passion of lust, even as the Gentiles who know not God. We're not going to be like that. We're not going to be like the Gentiles, Paul said. We're going to be distinct. We're going to be different. So come out. That doesn't mean physically. We live in a, you know, a gated community and we never touch the world. It means that we go out and we be among them in our work and other places, but in our talk and in our dress and in our actions, we are completely different because we are following God's word. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2. Here's another thing that we need to do. Live consistently. Live consistently. When we preach one thing and practice another, it gives people out in the world an opportunity to say, well, why would I ever want to become a Christian if this person doesn't practice what he preaches? Be consistent. We know that that is a problem because Paul said it was. He's talking about the Jews who claim to be following God. And when they were out in the world, they were telling other people, well, don't do this and don't do that. But they were doing it themselves. And what did it lead to? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. You're out preaching one thing and practicing another. Verse 21, you preach that man should not steal, but do you steal? You preach that a man should not commit adultery, but do you commit adultery? You see, you're not practicing what you preach. You're not consistent and you're not constant. And so it leads to this problem. Number one, people blaspheme God. Well, yeah, if that's what following God is all about, why should I make any change? They're doing what I'm doing. Turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 5. Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 5, be consistent in our walk and in our talk. It's one of the best things that we can do to influence others. Not one time are we going to preach one thing and practice another. Look at verse 3, Ephesians 5, 3. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as becometh saints. We're not going to engage in that. Nor filthiness, nor foolish talking or jesting. Sometimes jokes and other kinds of language is worldly. Which are not befitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know of a surety, that no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ. Let no man deceive you with empty words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Don't go back and do that. That would be inconsistent. That would be hypocritical. We've come out of that. Leave that. Don't go back to that. Verse 9. For the fruit of the light, we're supposed to be light, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is well-pleasing unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. We don't act that way, and we say that conduct is wrong. People are watching us, and we need to live consistently. Look at one of the qualifications of elders. I've been wanting to do a lesson sometime and call it the qualifications of members. and use the qualifications of elders to talk about how that as members we're supposed to be these things. There are some qualifications of elders that are only of elders, but the majority of them are just for all Christians. And here's one of them, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 7. Moreover, he must have good testimony from them that are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. We need to live in such a way that them that are without, they've got a good testimony of us. They can speak nothing but good about us. We're not giving them any occasion, because of our inconsistent living, to say, hey, this guy's hypocritical. Be consistent in our talk and in our dress and in our manner. Don't go back and be that way. Paul says, you were once this way, but you are now children of light. Walk that way. Just be consistent in the way that we're supposed to be living, and we can have a great impact on those others. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. When we go out into the world and make contact with them each day, let us walk wisely, practice honesty, be distinct, live consistently. And each day that we get up and make contact with them, as hard as it is, because when we're surrounded by people in the world, sometimes it's extremely difficult. We always obey God. We always do what God says, no matter what. The rest of the crowd's not doing it, but we're going to do what God says. By faith, and we know the story of Noah and the ark. By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not yet seen as yet. Nobody had seen a flood yet. A flood. Okay, well, I haven't seen it, so I'm not going to do it. No, I'm going to build this ark. Never seen a flood. Nobody's ever seen a flood. But God warned me. That's all it takes. I believe God. I love His word. I'm going to do it. Moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Now look at it. Through which he condemned the world. Underscore that. When you go out and do what God says each day, what you're saying is the world is not doing what God says. Now, the condemnation could be verbal, where we could actually say, you're not living as God says. But even if you never said a thing, you're condemning the world. It shows that the world is not doing what God wants them to do. We're going to do that, and we're not going to follow the crowd. By which he, or through which he condemned the world. He just got out there and built his ark. He got his sons and their wives and his wife, got them on the boat. Nobody else wanted to. He just did what God said. The world was condemned. We've got to get up each day and show them that we obey God. We're not going to follow the crowd. We're not going to listen to what the world says. We're just going to be, we've been warned of God on such and such, and we're going to live that way. And hopefully, that in the judgment day, there's more than eight souls. Through our influence, we've been able, not only with our family, but with others, to bring them to God. But we do that by always doing what God says. And concerning things not seen as yet. There are things that we do because we want to go to heaven. Nobody's ever seen heaven. Well, why are you living that way? Well, I want to go to heaven. Heaven? Where is that? What is that? No, I obey God. And I believe God. And I trust in His word. And that's one of the greatest ways that we can impact the world. And then I want us to turn to 1 Peter 2. Turn with me there. Another thing that we can do to have a positive impact on the world is to ignore the insults. As we go out, whether it's work or school or somewhere else, there's going to be the little remarks. There's going to be the evil comments. And we're going to ignore that, and we're going to focus on just living right and pursuing a godly life. Look at 1 Peter 2 and verse 11. Beloved, I beseech you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your behavior seemly among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, somebody's going to say something. Some snide remark, some insult, some put down, some negative thing about our life as a Christian. When they do that, what do? You just keep sojourning along. You don't dish it back to them. You don't retaliate. We don't do this. And when they said something bad to us, well, we say it bad back to them. Romans 12, 17 through 21 says that we return good for evil. We're not going to retaliate. Well, they said something to us. I'm going to say something bad back to them. We don't do that. We ignore that and we just keep sojourning and pilgriming along toward heaven. They're going to be saying those things and we just keep living the way we're supposed to be living. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 1 opens up with Christ having to go through some suffering. And Peter says that we as Christians are going to have to go through some suffering. Look at 1 Peter 4 verse 3. For the time past may have sufficed to rot the desire of Gentiles. That's the way we once lived. And to have walked in lasciviousness and lust and wine-bibbing, reveling, your version might say drunkenness. These are things involving alcohol. Carousing and abominable idolatries. Look at it. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them in the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Look at chapter 2, verse 12, speaking evil of you. Look at chapter 4, verse 5, speaking evil of you. Verse 4, it's in both places. This was a problem that Peter was trying to encourage brethren with. They're going to be out in the world and people are going to be speaking evil of them. Not only that, but they think it's strange. Really? You don't want to go party with us? You don't want to drink? You don't want to lie, steal, cheat? Come on. They think it's strange that you're not doing what they're... No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep living the godly life. And I'm not going to engage in some sort of retaliation. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32, the Hebrew writer talks about how that the Christians were made a spectacle to the world. That was literally done when Christians were thrown into the arena and everybody is literally watching them and throwing them to the lions, especially more like the second century, you know, second, third century along in there. When some of that was going on before the great decree of Constantine to stop it. They were made a spectacle and a gainsaying of the world. People poked fun at them. And when it happens today, we're just going to ignore that and keep sojourning and living right. And we're not going to offer up any kind of retaliation to that. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, we're going to show some sympathy toward people out in the world. It's easy just to walk right by them. And we've got to be very careful not to do that. Turn with me to 1 John 5 and verse 19. There's a statement here that really impresses me. And when you think about it and then look out, it really is true. Look at this. It's just a little statement. We know that we are of God. Look at this. The whole world lieth in the evil one. You ever see that? Every day. Just drive up and downtown. The whole world lieth in the evil one. All kinds of sin, all kinds of immorality, all kinds of crime, all kinds of problems. The devil has his hold on so many people in the world. But we don't just pass them by and ignore them, knowing that they're in the clutches of the devil. We're going to do something to care about that. We're not going to condone it. We're not going to compromise any truth. But neither are we just like the priest and the Levite, just going to walk by and say, oh, that's not my problem. Your marriage is messed up. That's not my problem. The whole world lieth in the evil one. And that should, where we once were, we've come out of that. We should have some sympathy and care. It may be conditions of poverty or they've messed up their lives and there's a lot of things about their personal home life that's just messed up. It's because of the devil. It could be some immorality or unbelief. It could be some, you know, sinful things that they're engaged in. It's because the whole world lieth in the evil one. It could be religious error. They could be clean people, but it's just religious error. They've been taught lies, false teaching. It could be messed up families like we're talking about in the class. But we don't just walk by them. We don't just say, well, good luck with that. We stoop down like Jesus did. Mark chapter 2. He passes by Matthew at the place of toll and come follow me. And Matthew says, you know, why don't you come over to my house? I want to make a meal. And so Jesus does, and they all get in there, and there's a bunch of publicans and sinners in there, and the Pharisees are back, "Oh, why is he eating with them?" "Because I came to help them," Jesus said. "Those that are sick need a physician. Those that are whole, they don't need a physician, but those who are sick, that's why I'm stooping to help them." And it's easy for us just to stay away from all that. You know, don't have any part of that. One last thing that we can really show our impact is actually try to get involved with the lives of some of these people. Get our hands dirty, because the devil's got a hold on them, and the truth will get them out of that. But we've got to talk with them and care about them and be with them without compromising any truth. It happened several times. It happened in the home of Simon. Jesus is eating there. Simon the Pharisee is invited into a meal. And here comes this woman. And she's crying and anointing Jesus. And Simon's like, if he were a prophet, he would have known that this woman is a sinner. What's he doing over there? And Jesus said to him, "Simon," you know, and he taught him that lesson about forgiveness. Who wants forgiveness? Well, I guess the person who really needs it. Yeah, like this woman. It happened in Luke 15, verses 1 and 2. He's doing things with sinners, and the Pharisees are, "Well, why is he doing stuff with sinners?" Because he had sympathy and care. He knew that they were lying in the world of the devil. So whether it's these things or other things, let us show some care and compassion and sympathy. Yes, people are messed up. Amen. And it's the devil who's doing it. But let us make contact with them so that we can help them. I hope that this has helped us this morning. Them that are without. It's a great way for us. Sometimes we're the only Bible, as it were, that people are reading. When you go to school, when you go to work, when you run your errands, let us walk wisely, practice honesty, be distinct. Not just get a little bit away from them. Be completely distinct. That's how we really do shine as light. Live consistently. Obey God when the crowd is running the other direction. We're going to have to ignore some insults. That evil speaking, "Oh, strange that y'all aren't running with us." And we're going to have to show some sympathy. And it might be a little dirty, but that's how we get in there and snatch them out of the fire. Jude 22:23. Snatch them out of the clutches of the devil and get them on that narrow way that leads to eternal life. And it starts by showing some care and some sympathy. I hope that has helped us. We've got a great privilege to impact the world. It's going to happen with some of us. It's going to happen right after services. If we go to lunch somewhere, we're going to be making contact with people in the world. And it happens all the time. Let us live the way God wants us to live, and that impact will be great. There'll be a lot of people that won't care. There'll be that one person, that good and honest heart, that we may end up bringing to Christ because of that impact we've made in their life. There may be someone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel coming, repenting and being baptized into Christ. There may be a child of God that has erred that needs to come and seek the prayers and forgiveness. We can assist you in that way as well. But when we leave this building, we're going to make contact with them that are without. Let's do it in a way that is pleasing to God and that will help them and bring them to Christ. If you're subject, why won't you come as we stand and sing?